So it's a key to us to see that the very first words of the epistle, Paul says he is an apostle. He does not dodge this question. He knows that this is what they had used against him. And so instead of dodging the question, he is going to go into and explain to them, you are exactly right. I am an apostle, but I'm not an apostle because men have made me an apostle. I'm an apostle because the Lord in glory has made me an apostle. He says, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lived and walked on the earth, and he made the 12 apostles. The Lord Jesus in resurrection made this man an apostle. And then he makes this statement that there are many other brethren from the other areas that are supporting me. I'm writing to you, he says, not only me, but the brethren that are with me unto the assemblies of Galatia. So it's not just one little meeting. As he said, it's a district. There's a meeting here, a meeting here, a meeting here, but poison spreads quickly. And so when Emo came to town and began to spread this word that Paul was not really an apostle, that word spread among those assemblies just like wildfire. And so instead of it just being one assembly that was unhappy, there's a whole region that is affected by the poison that has come down from, really from Judea, from Jerusalem. So it's important to see that.
And I'd like to, thanks. I'd just like to point us to what the qualifications are for, to be an apostle, because this is very important. It's not that the question that was raised wasn't legitimate from the standpoint of what's the criteria for being an apostle. And turn with me to Acts chapter 1, because very often with error, there is that which is truth that's mixed in, right? So the challenge as to his apostleship is on the lines that there were two criteria that one had to meet to be an apostle. Acts chapter 1, verse 21, and this is after the ascension of the Lord Jesus, and they had met to select those another apostle that would join them. And it says, wherefore, of these men who have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So the two criteria is, one, to be an apostle, you needed to be with the Lord when he was here upon the earth in his earthly ministry. You literally had to be there. The second thing was there had to be a witness with them of his resurrection.
One more time, Brother Tony, because I think we need to write this one down. Two criteria.
The reference, Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. The first criteria is that you had to be with the Lord Jesus, physically with him while he was here upon the earth. The second criteria in verse 22, you had to be a witness with them of his resurrection. And so now we understand why he begins with the thought of himself being an apostle. And he says, not of men, neither of man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So in another epistle, he speaks of the fact that he was caught up and that he saw the risen and ascended Lord face to face. And so he was one who was qualified as having seen the Lord Jesus and having seen him after his resurrection. So I think it's important that we make these notes in our notes as to how and why he can say that he is a verifiable apostle.
1 Corinthians 9:1.
Thank you. 1 Corinthians 9:1. And that reads, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? I would not be an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Thank you.
So then he's going to use a word that is going to be very contrary to these believers that have been ill affected by Emil's teaching. He says, grace. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now we've got a real dilemma here. Because the message that Emil is bringing will never separate me from the world. The law will make me part of this world, part and parcel of this world. It was for man after the flesh. Grace is absolutely the contrary. Grace is going to separate me unto the Lord Jesus. Now this verse has just said that Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver me from the present world. The death of Christ separates me from this world. But what happened after Jesus died? He was raised from among the dead. He went back into the glory. And where did he send you and I? Right back into that world. Not now part of the world under law, but now as a witness and a testimony to what grace has done. The law brings me into bondage. Grace sets me free. Grace gives me liberty. Grace allows me to serve. And so I find right at the beginning, the apostle tackles the problem right from the beginning. Now, young people, this is relevant to today. You go off to school and you're going to hear people telling you all the time what Emil said. Well, you know, it's one thing to be saved by grace, but you need these 10 commandments that you can learn to live for the Lord. Thou shalt not kill, and so on. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. You need these commandments to be able to live properly for the Lord. And so they take one who has been set free and delivered, and they bring them back under this poison bondage. Why was the law ever given? We should ask that question. We'll come into it later in the book. But the law was given to you and I to prove to us when we tried to keep it, we could never, ever do it. We learned it very early when mom told us, don't do something, stay out of the cookie jar. That principle, someone tells you not to do it, there is in my flesh that which will want to do the very thing that I've been forbidden to do. And so the Spirit of God wants to deliver us from this evil world according to the will of God and our Father.